laying off teachers for all of all the things. What's going on in the school?
Well, basically, there's a disinvestment in our communities and in our schools for our young people, and attack on low and middle income families. And, you know, by not investing in our schools, which our schools have lost a lot of money, you know, it's becomes an issue on our young people. And so, you know, what we've seen so far is $1 billion cut from education statewide. And so what that has looked like is a lot of students aren't doing well on these state assessments. You have teachers that are being laid off, which increases class sizes. We have the staff, support staff that's been let go. And what that means is you have more chaos within the school. And, yeah, so it's just not looking like a good situation. And then we have one of the richest corporations that reside in our city that doesn't pay any property taxes. So that exacerbates the problem even more.
I want to come back to that property tax issue. That sounds hot, too. But part of what at least we read outside of Philly is that one of the big cost factors is how expensive these charter schools are. And, you know, a lot of people try to tout charter schools as a big reform, but it sounds like their costs are just soaring in Philly. Is that the real story?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, charter schools have grown in Philadelphia from, you know, a decade ago we had two or three charters, you know, right after we beat back the attempts to expand Edison into Philadelphia. We saw, you know, a couple charters spring up. We now have 86 charters that are educating about, you know, 70 or 80,000 formerly public school students. And, you know, the cost is just dramatic. I mean, it's taken 30% of our budget goes out the door to charter schools.
And on, you know, your budget's like more than $2 billion, right? So you're talking about a big pile of money, right?
Oh yeah, $700,000 or $800,000.
Remind people about that Edison campaign, because this was an attempt to try to grab the whole school system a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Well, that's right. Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a long time ago. That was an Acorn fight, and we organized with the teachers to beat back that effort. But, you know, the effort has been kind of an ongoing fight over the past decade. And we've seen, you know, the state took over our school system in 2001. And, you know, there was some hope that that actually was going to lead to, you know, improvements by the state having more skin in the game, so to speak. But what's really happened, especially with the current Tea Party governor and total domination of our state legislature by the Republicans, we've seen, you know, a disinvestment in a huge way, $1 billion, as Kia mentioned, from public education in the past 2 years.
Well, I live in New Orleans, as you know, Craig, and
yeah.
Kia, I'll tell you this, and it's no secret, but, you know, we had a state takeover of our school system after Katrina in 2005, so you've obviously had that situation 4 more years than we have, but what that means is that we've got a part of the school system, a small part, just about 25-30%, that's run with an elected school board. And then we have this big, huge part, which is all 100% charters now, run by a totally unaccountable state apparatus. And when I was reading about the Philly system and your sort of five-person commission, those men and women aren't elected in Philadelphia, are they?
No, they're all appointed. We have three that's appointed by our, like Craig said, Tea Party governor. And then we had two appointed by our, you know, supposed to be Democratic mayor who really has aligned himself with our Republican governor.
But the bottom line is it means that y'all don't really have any more accountability on the school system. This is becoming popular everywhere. I was in Dallas yesterday, and they're trying to get that same thing, a special committee to take over the schools, rewrite the charter for the schools, and nobody elected. I mean, how can you ever get accountability so that you actually get performance that parents and communities want from a school system that's not elected? I don't get that.
Right. And that's one of the huge issues we have with when we lose staff, like our nurses. And we don't have nurses on staff at some of our schools with the most vulnerable students who, you know, tend to have higher health issues. And, you know, we had two young people who died within the course of this school year because there was no nurse, you know, at the school.
Oh,
and so who's accountable? And we want to know who's accountable when stuff like that happens.
Well,
right? Exactly
right. And does that mean they've also cut special education aides and classroom aides too?
As far as special education goes, I don't know. I mean, one of my kids was in a special ed, and it was like mid-year. I didn't even know where her teacher was. I came to school one day, and it was a report card, and I wanted to speak with her, and they told me she had been out for a month. So, you know, what could that have meant? That could have meant a number of things. And so I didn't see her for the rest of the school year, so I don't know if that meant she was let go. You know, she was cut. I don't, you know.
Yeah. Things have been so cut to the bone. You know, there is no extra anything. We don't have libraries. We don't, you know, the nurses are on rotating shifts, so maybe you're lucky to have a nurse in your school one day a week. There's no libraries. There's no librarians. Nothing that you would call a public education exists in Philadelphia right now.
And I bet forget about extracurricular stuff, huh?
Oh, totally.
Oh, right.
There's nothing. I mean, so, you know, and what's happening right now is just beyond the pale. I mean, the governor, Kia, and about 10 of our parent leaders just finished up a five-day sit-in at the governor's office, which was a pretty heroic effort with parents and students and their kids. So, and sitting in the governor's office to try to talk some sense into this governor. You know, we're stuck right now with the state legislature basically playing with us. They're holding $96 million in cigarette tax money. So the right to tax ourselves is being held up. In return, the governor's trying to pass pension reform. So he's trying to twist a bunch of Philadelphia legislators' arms to win pension reform in return for our ability just to be able to tax ourselves to get us back to a basic bare bones level of education, which is, you know, where we were last year, which is still nowhere near what we need to fund public schools.
Exactly. And I'm talking to Craig Robbins and Kia Hinton, the president of Action United in Pennsylvania. We're talking about whether or not Philly's on the road to being the new Detroit. But hey, I've got to hear more about the sit-in, Kia. Come on, tell us about what y'all were doing in Harrisburg. That sounds exciting.
We went up on a Thursday and, you know, went to the Capitol and wanted to just sit in and let, you know, our legislators know that, you know, oftentimes, you know, you don't hear from the community, you know, where I'm from. And so we just wanted to let people know that, you know, there are parents who are passionate about making sure our kids get the education that they deserve. So, you know, we went right in there, and I had my 15-year-old daughter, and she was down with it, and we went to the governor's office, and, you know, we made our presence known. And we, you know, we sat in, we spoke with some of our legislators, you know, just expressing, you know, how important it is that we fund our schools properly.
But Kia, did Craig say you were there 5 days?
Right, we were there for 5 days, huh?
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to sit in for a couple of hours, talk to some legislators, do a couple of interviews, tell your daughter, I hope you learned something for your future. But then another 4.5 days to go. I mean, what was it like the second day or the third day? This is Nelson Mandela's birthday today on Wade's World. So come on, sister, tell us all about it.
I mean, we had a good
sleep. How did you eat? What did you do?
You know what? It was, you know, we had I don't know, my gosh, how did we? Oh, we had, so our group would go out, they would get us dinner, you know, and bring it to us. We had a couple of allies that were in the Capitol, and, you know, they made sure, you know, if we were hungry, you know, they looked out for us too. But, I mean, we just had a really good group that just kept the momentum going. You know, we chanted. We had Ron Whitehorn. He's the director of our coalition, PCAPS. You know, he had his guitar, and we were singing. So we just kept it going. It was just, you know, we were solidarity just amongst all of us, and it was just really good. You know, we knew that it was something important.
It sounds like a great experience. Now, did your daughter stay the whole 5 days?
She actually did stay the whole 5 days. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. With God, she must have had iPod batteries going and cell phones. There's no way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she must have been. If you really wanted to make it hard, they would have taken away electricity from you, huh? Well, that's great. Now, look, I think before the show, you were telling me you're from Southwest Philly, yeah?
Yes.
I don't know if y'all have read the book. It's probably gotten huge attention, so you probably have or know about it firsthand. But a sociologist, Alice Goffman, wrote a book called On the Run, Fugitive Life in an American City, all about Philly and how the criminal justice system basically holds primarily younger, you know, African-American men, but also younger African-American women in, you know, lower income communities, sort of in a constant cycle of penny ante kind of offenses. And then you do your time, but you still owe money to the probation people. You owe money to the court. So they keep picking you up for not, you know. Is this going on in Southwest Philly? You know what I'm talking about?
Well, you know, myself personally, my oldest son got into some trouble a couple years ago, and he's due to come back in a couple weeks. And these are conversations that I have with him because I've also read, you know, how, you know, we can do. You have these, I mean, I was walking down Chester Avenue, which is where, like, a lot of our merchants are. And, you know, the police come up and they just stop young African-American men and just check them. And so I've seen that. And, you know, with him coming home, this will be an experience because, you know, perceive the same thing happening to them. If something goes down, they'll probably come here and, you know, check him out and all that stuff. So that's a really real situation.
And I don't know how old your son is, but look, they were putting people on, you know, the probation guidelines were 9 o'clock in, never even have a beer. You got to make all your fine payments on time. You got to be looking for jobs. Well, tell me about a young man or woman who's always going to be able to get back at 9 for a year, or never have a beer. You know, that's just impossible. I mean, it's just, and then jack them right back in for a probation or squeeze them because they want some information or,
right.
But this is changing what I worry about. And, you know, this is not just a Philly problem. It's just we're talking about it. Craig, have you read this book yet? You know what I'm talking about?
Stand. I haven't finished it yet. But, yeah, I do have it, actually.
Okay. So it's just, you know, you sort of hit your head and say, damn, I've been hearing about this from members for years and years, and I just wasn't putting it all together, that they're on a hamster wheel. And, you know, no wonder we have such problems. Somebody, you know, gets picked up on, you know, a couple of grains of marijuana, and then they're in the system for the rest, you know, 20 years, can't get a, you know, it's just one thing after another. But this is really criminalizing lower income and minority communities like in Philly in a terrible way. I mean,
well, and I think, you know, the way that you started out the conversation was Philadelphia, the next Detroit. I mean, I actually don't see us. I mean, maybe I don't know enough about what's really happening in Detroit. I know a little bit about it, but I do feel like, you know, what's happening here is this is a stratification. This is a huge, you know, we're kind of creating there's a growing population in Philadelphia. It's a growing middle class. There's a lot of young people moving here. You know, you've got a booming downtown in Philadelphia, but we're seeing a public education system, which is now increasingly, you've got, you know, middle income and white families moving into the charter system or private schools. You've got a public education system, which is being decimated And the folks that are being left in the public education system are the parents and students that aren't quite savvy enough to figure out how to navigate the whole charter school application process.
Which is almost everybody, I can tell you, from New Orleans.
Yeah. So I think what we're seeing is kind of a more of a stratification where we're going to have this, you know, I mean, it's always been this way, but we're going to have just increased poverty, increased ghettoization in our communities.
Well, are you also seeing gentrification, given what you're talking about, coming into some of our classic neighborhoods?
Sure, sure.
Which
yeah,
ones I mean, are the most imperiled?
Well, in North Philly, I mean, Temple is, you know, all the universities here, a lot of cities are expanding rapidly, buying up property. Okay. Temple has doubled in size in the past decade. You know, you got Penn on the west side of, you know, doing the same thing. You know, our neighborhood where the Action United office and Acorn office before it had been for decades is finally becoming the hot new neighborhood. It's kind of crazy.
You know, if you're gonna buy real estate, it's a long term investment.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Well, isn't that interesting? Because you know, clearly, you know, you can't avoid what's happening in New York City. Where, remember East New York? We used to think that was, you know, catch a subway, bring a lunch, take, you know, it was an hour and a half to get to the neighborhoods. Now people are starting to live way out there in Brooklyn because every place where our office used to be in Brooklyn, all those areas have gone sky high. It's coming more and more communities. But that's a very interesting point, this 1% stratification, gentrification, one thing and another. What other things are you seeing, Kia, in neighborhoods like Southwest? So we talked a little about the criminal justice system. Are you seeing the city take any initiatives to respond to Action United down in Southwest Philly?
Are they responding?
That almost says you could hear that across 100,000 watts.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kia.
So your question is, are they responding to it?
Yeah, I mean, I know if you're Action United, you've probably got a list of things you've been trying to get the city to do in Southwest. What, are they doing anything for you?
I mean, I think the biggest thing that I saw was when we pushed back with the school closures. And, they still closed one of the schools around here and opened it up to be a charter school. So... But I just citywide, I mean, I think that, you know, us putting up some fight back about school closings, we didn't have as many that were closed. I don't know what else, anything else that, you know, that I've seen, particularly in Southwest, that's happening.
Well, give people a sense, both of you, what is, I mean, we probably should have done this at the beginning, but give people a feeling. What is Action United now? Where are you working? I know it's Pittsburgh. I know you were just saying that in Harrisburg, but what's the whole story on Action United now?
Well, we have, we're doing a Get Out the Vote campaign where we're taking charge and making sure all of our neighbors are registered to vote. We're getting them to pledge to become education voters, which means they'll support our education plan and vote for the candidate who supports education. What else are we doing? We're in a citywide coalition of different labor and community groups, just really trying to stave off this attack on education.
Fantastic.
Anything else, Craig?
Well, I think another exciting development that's happened is, you know, we've built a local Working Family Party chapter here in Philadelphia. It's really defining itself as a statewide strategy to build the Working Families organization here. And so that coalition of, you know, community and labor, progressive labor organizations have come together, and there's an interesting opportunity because in Philadelphia, there's a requirement that two of the at-large city council seats, we have 17 city council people, 10 or 7 are at-large, and two of those at-large seats need to be minority party. So there's a strategy in Philly as we get this party going here to flip those two seats from, they've traditionally been Republican, the right wing of city council, to flip those to become the progressive working family party wing.
Well, that would be amazing, similar to the Hartford strategy, I imagine.
Well, that's right. I mean, we don't have fusion here, which, you know, it's a weapon that we don't possess here in Pennsylvania, but there is this interesting opportunity to kind of go head-to-head with the Republicans. And, you know, a big piece of legislation that we were working on 3 years ago, or really have been working on kind of on and off over the past, since our start in 2010, was the past paid sick days legislation in Philly. And each time we've gotten it passed through city council, but the mayor has vetoed it. And we've always come up one or two votes short in council of an override of the mayor. And so it's very clear that if we could actually turn these two seats that are minority party seats into the progressive party, the working family party, we actually could start to pass a lot more of the legislation that will benefit working families.
And the same requirement you're talking, I'd never realized this is the Philadelphia requirement, but that same requirement was in city council seats in Hartford, Connecticut, where there had to be two or three, I forget the number of minority party seats. And when Working Families Party of Connecticut was building, that was one of its first successes, mm-hmm. is winning those elections. On Wade's World, on January 3rd, we talked to Dan Cantor, the executive director of Working Families Party nationally, and sort of one of the key founders of the whole Working Family Party movement. So this is exciting to hear what you're talking about in Philly. And when I was in Pittsburgh a couple of years ago, I think I ran into some working family folks that were talking about Pittsburgh as well.
Yeah, there's been some, the WFO has kind of been, you know, fits and starts into Pennsylvania, and they, you know, did some work in one of the congressional races out in western Pennsylvania a couple of years ago. And
that may have been the time. It was a canvassing crew, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
right. Okay, so small world. Now, hey, Craig, Kia, we've got to talk about the, you know, I've heard they're going to change the name of Philadelphia. Instead of calling it Philadelphia, City of Brotherly Love, it's going to be Philadelphia bought and sold to Comcast. Is that true? I have to know this. I can't sleep at night without knowing. Is it true that they're going to just sell the whole package to Comcast? Tell me about Comcast.
I think you're probably right that Comcast is working to change the name of Philadelphia. I think there's no doubt that they would love to do that. Comcast Philadelphia.
Soon there's going to be a naming contest about the new name and how you can put Com and Cast in there. I have no doubt. Now, and we're talking about Comcast, the huge, huge, mega, I don't know what to call them anymore, cable company, internet provider, monopolist. They're trying to merge with Times Warner. They're trying to get 60% control of the whole internet operation in the country. They're claiming they'll do a million things, but we've had a lot of experience with their claims, haven't we, Philadelphia?
Well, I mean, sure. We their promises to help bridge the digital divide and create a low-cost internet program, which really was just a lot of smoke and mirrors to be able to buy NBC Universal a couple of years ago, is what one of the things they promised to do. And, you know, we've seen from the very start that they have no real intentions of making this program work. I think even today, 3 years after it was initiated, they've only got less than 10% of eligible families enrolled in their Internet Essentials program, which is a fight we had with them. And it's an ongoing fight. I mean, there is an interesting opportunity in Philadelphia. Comcast's franchise agreement is up at the end of this year. And, you know, there's some potential opportunities, we'd like to believe, to force our city elected officials to really challenge Comcast around some of their promises and some of the things that they should be doing that they're not. They pay, you know, as Kia mentioned earlier, the property tax load is almost zero. They have a 10-year tax abatement on their new building. They take advantage of the Delaware loophole. They're about to build a new building with another 10-year tax abatement. So, you know, we have one of the richest companies in the world not paying anywhere near their fair share of taxes and lobbying actually against some of the funding for schools that we need. So,
oh, you're kidding.
No.
So about some accountability for Comcast then, potentially forcing their feet to some fire at the city council?
Well, we'd like to believe that. You know, I mean, our experience with city council having any real, independence and willing to challenge any of the corporate entities is a whole nother ball of wax, which is why we're building a new party here. But I mean, but one would like to think that there's a campaign potential there.
Well, they have this great quote on the House of Cards, the British edition, with a guy who's the prime minister keeps saying, "You might say that, I couldn't comment." So, you know, that's what the city council probably wants to say to Comcast. Accountability? Yeah. You might say that. But, you know, this company's out of control. And then you read, David Cohen, the executive vice president, is, you know, all buddy-buddy with President Obama and hanging out in the White House and all over Congress. It's just scary what we may end up with. And even worse, not just in Philly, but what we all will end up paying for it. We're already behind in terms of access to the Internet, and the cost is incredible for the low-speed package we get. And, you know, I was just in Little Rock. I'm in Houston. These are both Comcast cities. I'm in Houston today as we're doing this show. And we still can't get our people on. It's and we've been, following the leadership of Action United as Local 100 and various groups in this part of the country have tried to, because Little Rock is also a Comcast city, and this is where we're broadcasting our 100,000 watts of power, but not over a cable line, I'll tell you.
Right.
But we're going to be rooting for you, and, you know, anything we can do, we're ready to go, you know, all out and do it. But once again, I want you to tell us how people can contact Action United and support y'all's working campaigns, either Kia or Craig. How can they do that?
Okay, so we're online, and we can be reached at www.actionunited.org. We're also on Facebook, right under Action United, and we're also on Twitter.
I'd like to say we've got
You actually post on Twitter, Kia?
I don't do Twitter, sorry. I feel like I'm a little bit above the Twitter age.
That's a 15-year-old daughter. I still, you know, I keep the accounts, and every time you forget the password, they won't tell you.
It's
a Comcast now in my book. Craig, so the website was what now?
Well, the website is www.actionunited.org. We've got a new website, an improved website. We've got nowhere to go but up on our website. It's going to be going online over this weekend. So you
fantastic.
Can find
and there's a donate button or something there people that want to give you some support.
There sure is. Yep.
Today on Wage World, we've had a lot of fun talking to Craig Robbins, Executive Director of Action United in Pennsylvania, and Kia Hinton, who's just a ball of fire, who just got back from a sit-in in Harrisburg, and she's the President of Action United. We've talked about everything under the sun, schools and neighborhoods and crime and tax dodging Comcast and building a working families party in Philly. So this has been a great Wage World. Next week, I think we're going to have Saket Sunny, who we're going to talk about some of the problems on the border and immigrant organizing. But this has been Wage World Friday, KBF. Have a great Friday. We'll see you again next Friday for Wage World.